The following is a home program on Bhagavad Gita as it is, chapter number 4, text number 21, given by His Grace Sriman Sankarshan Dasatikari, recorded on June 12, 2009, in Canberra, Australia.
So, tonight we are reading from Srimad Bhagavad Gita as it is, translated and purported by Divine Rishi Prabhupada. Chapter number 2, the contents of the Gita summarized. Text number 41. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate
Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo
Vyavisayatmika Buddhir Ekeha Guru Nandana Bhushaka Hyanantascha Buddhayo Vyasayam. Translation and purport, Srila Prabhupada. Those who are on this path are resolute in purpose, and their aim is one. O beloved child of the Kurus, the intelligence of those who are irresolute is many-branched. A strong faith that by Krishna consciousness one will be elevated to the highest perfection of life is called virasayatmaka intelligence. The Chaitanya Charitamrita, Maja 2262, states, Shraddha Shabde Vishvasakahe Shudidda Nishchaya Krishna Bhakti Kaile Sarva Karma Kripta Haya. Faith means unflinching trust in something sublime. When one is engaged in the duties of Krishna consciousness, he need not act in relationship to the material world with obligations to family, traditions, humanity, or nationality. Fruitive activities are the engagements of one's reactions from past good or bad deeds. When one is awake in Krishna consciousness, he need no longer endeavor for good results in his activities. When one is situated in Krishna consciousness, all activities are on the absolute plane, for they are no longer subject to dualities like good and bad. The highest perfection of Krishna consciousness is renunciation of the material conception of life. This state is automatically achieved by progressive Krishna consciousness. The resolute purpose of a person in Krishna consciousness is based on knowledge. Vasudeva Sarvamati Sa Mahatma Sudurlabha. A person in Krishna consciousness is the rare good soul who knows perfectly that Vasudeva or Krishna is the root of all manifested causes. As by watering the root of a tree, one automatically distributes water to the leaves and branches. So by acting in Krishna consciousness, one can render the highest service to everyone, namely self, family, society, country, humanity, etc. If Krishna is satisfied by one's actions, then everyone will be satisfied. Service in Krishna consciousness is, however, best practiced under the able guidance of a spiritual master who is a bona fide representative of Krishna, who knows the nature of the student and who can guide him to act in Krishna consciousness. As such, to be well-versed in Krishna consciousness, one has to act firmly and obey the representative of Krishna, and one should accept the instruction of the bona fide spiritual master as one's mission in life. Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur instructs us in his famous prayer for the spiritual master as follows. Yasham prasadam bhagavat prasado Yasham prasadam nagati kutopi Nayan stuvamstasya yasrashtri sanyam Mande guru shri charanaralindam. By satisfaction of the spiritual master, the Supreme Personality of Godhead becomes satisfied. And by not satisfying the spiritual master, there is no chance of being promoted to the plane of Krishna consciousness. I should therefore meditate and pray for his mercy 3 times a day and offer my respectful obeisances unto him, my spiritual master. The whole process, however, depends on perfect knowledge of the soul beyond the conception of the body, not theoretically, but practically. When there is no longer a chance for sense gratification manifested in fruitive activities, one who is not firmly fixed in mind is diverted by various types of fruitive acts. Vandeha. Shri Guru Shri Jata Balakamala Shri Guru Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupa Sagrajata Sagana Raghunatam Vitantam Sajiva Sadvaita Savaduta Purijana Saitam Krishna Chaitanya Deva Shri Radha Krishna Pada Sagana Ladita Shri Vishakhanvitamscha. So, what is the position of a person who is not resident? Not very good. His intelligence is many branched. He has no peace of mind. His mind, his intelligence is like monkey jumping from this branch to another. Well, I'll try to be happy in this way, I'll try to be happy in that way, this way, that way, and trying to adjust throughout his whole life. He tries to adjust and he never finds that. But if one actually becomes resolute, if one actually understands Atma Tattva, the science of the self, if he actually knows who he is, if he knows what is the source of existence, and he reconnects himself with that source of existence, then becomes peaceful, very, very peaceful and happy person. Mm-hmm. The point is, one has to be plugged in to the source of consciousness, Krishna. Aham sarvasya prabhavam taksarvam prabhartate. Here we have this nice heater helping us on this cold day. But if it's not plugged into the powerhouse, it is useless. So one may have a very nice facility. He may have a very healthy, beautiful body. He may have a very good bank balance, nice wife, nice kids, nice house, nice car, everything very, very nice. But if he is not connected with the powerhouse, it is all useless. He will be deluded for some time to thinking that everything is very nice, but when finally death comes, he will be numb. Absolutely numb. Because he never reconnected with the actual source of his existence, the Supreme Person. So let us not make that mistake. If we do, we'll be very much regretting. We did not take the value, the proper utilization of this human form. We've evolved through 8,400,000 species, as described in the Vishnu Purana, Jalajanavalakshani, Stavada Lakshavinshati, Kramaya Rudra Samkhyaka Pakshinam Dashalakshanam, Chatur, Trinshalakshani, Pashavaha, Chatur Lakshani, Manusha. There are 900,000 different types of aquatics, and there's the non-moving, stavara, you see. The plants, the trees. Stavara lakshavin. Then kramaya rudra sankhyaka, there's the insects and the reptiles. Pakshinam dashalakshanam, there's the birds. And then triksha lakshani, pashavaha, there's 3 million types of beasts. And chatur lakshani, manasha. 400,000 different types of human species. So you can see there's 400,000 on one hand and there's 8 million on the other hand. So that means one has traveled through 8 million different births and deaths to finally get a human body. Can you imagine if you had to wait 8 million days for some opportunity? And then when the opportunity came, you didn't take advantage of it. What a great tragedy that would be. For 8 million days, you waited in line to achieve some special boon. And when you got there, you ignored your opportunity. That would be called the greatest tragedy. 8 million days. How many years is that? Any mathematicians here tonight? How many days is eight? How many years is 8 million days? You say figure roughly that 3 years would be 1,000 days. And there's 1,000,000, so there'd be 3,000 years would be 1,000,000 days. And 3,000 times 8 would be approximately, this is very rough, 24,000 years. 24,000 years. If my math was correct. I haven't practiced math in many years. But roughly 24,000 years. If you waited for 24,000 years in some queue to get an opportunity, and finally your turn came, after 24,000 years, it was your chance, and you got there, you forgot why you're even there. And you completely miss the opportunity. Wouldn't that be the greatest tragedy? So, welcome to the modern world. That's where we're in. We are living in a society of people who have waited 24,000 years, the equivalent of 24,000 years, even more than that. I'm just saying if each lifetime was one day, and it's much longer than that. But they have waited 24,000 lifetimes, you see. I mean to say, no, now we're getting numbers mixed up. 8 million different lifetimes. They have waited to get this human body, you see, and now getting it, they're simply imitating the animals, eating, sleeping, mating, and defending. So we are fortunate that we have come in contact with a bona fide spiritual master, the Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Vridandi Goswami Maharaj Prabhupada, one of the greatest acharyas in the history of the universe. He has lucidly and clearly explained how any person, man, woman, or child, even without being advanced in yoga, without being advanced in jnana, without being advanced in material education, without any qualification except sincerity, can achieve the topmost perfection. The topmost perfection. This is the great mercy of the Divine Grace, Srila Prabhupada, that he has enabled everyone, if they will simply take advantage of this knowledge that Prabhupada is giving us, if they will apply this knowledge that Prabhupada is giving in their lives, then they will get out of this quagmire of material existence. They will regain their eternal identity in the pastimes of God. What a great blessing. So I'm very happy, because I understood that you all are followers of Srila Prabhupada. I came here to get your association. Because I understand that you are trying to follow Prabhupada. Is that correct? Yeah? So I have come here. Because I understand wherever there are followers of Prabhupada is, that place is not in this material world. Wherever the people are following Srila Prabhupada, that place is Vrindavan. Because Prabhupada was always living in Vrindavan, wherever he went. So those who are following Prabhupada, they are also, those who are actually following the orders of Srila Prabhupada, they are also living in Vrindavan. So I came here to Vrindavan. I did not come to Canberra. That was my understanding of coming. If I thought I was coming to Canberra, I would not come here. I came here with the understanding that I was coming to Vrindavan. Because here you were trying to follow His Divine Grace, Srila Prabhupada, my beloved spiritual master. It's an interesting point here in the purport. There's some people who claim to be followers of Prabhupada. And they say that only Prabhupada can be the spiritual master, nobody else. But we have to see what Prabhupada says, not what they say. That's how we understand things correctly. Just see what Prabhupada says in this purport. He says, service in Krishna consciousness is, however, best practiced under the able guidance of a spiritual master who is a bona fide representative of Krishna, who knows the nature of the student and who can guide him to act in Krishna consciousness. This means a spiritual master is actually right here, who can talk to you, who can meet with you, who can understand what your mentality is, what you're going through, and give you specific instructions for your situation. This is not referred to a spiritual master who is not physically embodied. This specifically refers to a spiritual master who can read your, who can see where, what you're going through, what is your psychological situation, what are your circumstances you're in, and can give you specific guidance how to act in that circumstance. It's very clear. A departed spiritual master doesn't execute these functions. A spiritual master who is physically present executes these functions. So Srila Prabhupada says that we have to act under the guidance of such a person who is a representative of Krishna, accepting his instructions as one's mission in life. So that's how we'll actually become focused. That's how we'll get out of this quagmire of material existence. By taking these instructions that Srila Prabhupada has given and applying them with full sincerity, we'll become completely free from our repetition of breath and death. All the anxieties of material existence, they will go away. We will truly be living in Vrindavan at every minute with Krishna. Actually, it is not that difficult to get Krishna's association. That's when you become blissful, when you're associating with Krishna 24 hours a day. That's when you become truly blissful. So Prabhupada quotes this wonderful verse from the Narada Pancharatra, explaining how one can associate with Krishna. You know that verse? Very nice verse. Dikkala janavachane Krishna chaita vidayasha tanmayo bhavati chitram jivo brahmani yajiya. By concentrating one's attention on Krishna, on the form of Krishna, who is beyond time and space, who is all-pervading, one becomes absorbed in thinking of Him, and then one begins to enjoy His transcendental association. So this is not difficult. We have the deity, we have the pictures of Krishna. These things help us to remember Krishna, absorb our mind in thinking of Krishna, the chanting also, all of those things that help you to think about Krishna. If we take advantage of them to the fullest extent, then actually Krishna will manifest Himself personally in that remembrance of Him. Krishna Smaranam and Krishna are one and the same. If we are remembering Krishna by the chanting, by the meditating on the form, by this remembrance of Krishna, Krishna will become personally present in that remembrance and will be directly associating with God. So this is the meaning of Krishna consciousness. It means to focus your mind, to absorb your mind in thinking of Krishna 24 hours a day. That brings complete happiness, complete satisfaction to the living being. So we invite everybody to take this process of Krishna consciousness very seriously. How many people here are chanting 16 rounds of japa every day? Raise your hand. Very good. How many people would like to be who aren't doing it yet? There's one. Okay, good. We encourage you. Very good. So this process that Prabhupada has given, chanting the holy names, following these principles, taking shelter of the bona fide guru in disciplic succession, these activities will deliver us from all the sufferings of material existence. They will enable us to become fully happy and fully satisfied in all situations. Even calamitous situations are experienced as a blessing by that person who is advanced from Krishna consciousness. So we'll take advantage of all the facilities that Srila Prabhupada is giving to us. Then our lives will be absolutely sublime and we will no longer see the repetition of birth and death. So I thank you very much for so kindly listening to these words of wisdom which are coming to us from Srila Prabhupada. And now I can ask if there are any questions.
This verse says that we have to be residues in Krishna consciousness, but at the same time, Krishna mentioned too, there can be a lot of difficulties both within our heart and also manifesting externally.
Yes.
There can be a lot of difficulties.
For neophytes, yes.
So how can one remain fixed, or how can one remain resolute?
Yes. The key is you have to see how the difficulties are actually not impediments, but they're actually blessings. See, as long as we take the difficulties as impediments, then we'll remain in difficulty. But when you train yourself by having complete faith in the words of the spiritual master and the words of Krishna, when you train yourself to see every calamity, every difficulty as a blessing, then you don't have any difficulty. You understand? That's why Kunti Devi is praying. Vipada shantita shashvat tatra tatra jagadguru pavanam darshanam yachad apunarbhava darshanam. My dear Krishna, please, please give me more difficulties. Because whenever I'm in difficulty, I can do nothing but take shelter of you. And when I take shelter of you with great intensity, like I do whenever I have difficulties, then I know I'm not going to see the repetition of birth and death ever again. So you just have to see every difficulty as a special blessing of Krishna. Just see how Krishna is favoring me with this difficulty. What does the neophyte do? He says, Krishna, why are you doing this to me? Don't you understand I'm your devotee? He gets angry at Krishna. Guess what? That mentality keeps one in the material world. So instead of getting angry at Krishna, why are you giving me this difficulty? I'm chanting, I'm offering my food, I bow down before the deities, and now you're putting me in a difficulty? Krishna, why are you... See, we can't think that. We have to get our mind under control and realize that everything that's happening to me is a blessing from Krishna. Everything that's happening to me. Whatever is coming, it is all the mercy of Krishna to help us come back to Him as quickly and as easily as possible. That's how we have to see everything. Everything. Absolutely everything. Isn't Krishna in control of everything? Doesn't Krishna love you? Do you think He would torture you? Your loving Father? No, we're only torturing ourselves because we're not connected. The only torture is what we're inflicting on ourselves because we're not connected with Krishna. But as soon as we have total, complete faith in Krishna and see everything as this loving kindness, then we don't have any difficulties anymore. All the so-called difficulties become stepping stones. How to become more and more absorbed in Krishna consciousness. Do you read the Krishna book? Does the Vrijabhasis, were they ever in difficulties? Of course they were. There were so many difficulties in Krishna book. Indradeva was trying to kill them all with a flood. The forest fire came. Krishna was wrapped up in Kali and Nag. They were practically dead on the bank of the river, the Jamuna. They were so much in distress. They were facing one difficulty after another one. Is that what you want? One difficulty after the Vrijabhasis were getting. You see? They were getting one difficulty, one nightmare after another. A forest fire devoured. What if a forest fire surrounded your house? It looked like sure death. You see? Just like in Melbourne, there was some fires there. I saw in the news, heavy fires. You see, oh, Krishna is saving this fire surrounding my house. Would you think that way? No, we think, what's going on? Why is Krishna doing this to me? But every single difficulty that Krishna may put us in is simply an opportunity to increase our feelings of dependence on Him. And to learn, to train ourselves to have full faith that whatever Krishna is doing is simply for my benefit. It's not easy. I don't say it's easy. I've been dealing with a body that's going deaf, and I don't like it. It disturbs me a lot. For years, it's been a great disturbance to have a body that's going deaf and gets earaches really easy. But I have to train myself to see that somehow, I don't know how, but Krishna's favoring me with this difficulty. Actually, I talked with my godbrother, Vaisheshika Prabhu, and he said, all these difficulties, they simply increase your hankering to get your spiritual body. Because all of us have aging bodies that, you know, sooner or later we start to feel them, you know what I mean? Sooner or later, you know. It comes a point where you start to feel the symptoms of age and you go, oh, this is horrible, you know. But actually, for a devotee, it's simply increasing his desire to have a spiritual body. So it's nice, actually. It's helping you to make the transition, you know, to the spiritual body. The more you become unhappy with your material body. So it helps you make that transition to the spiritual body. So anyway, question? Yeah.
we hear the explanation of God helps those that help themselves.
Yes.
So how can we relate that to the what you're saying about the seeing difficulties?
So how do we correlate God helps those who help themselves with seeing calamities as the mercy of Krishna? Well, actually, a devotee sees that God is helping me. This is God's help putting me in these calamities. The other thing is, Krishna will never put us in a greater calamity than we can actually handle if we take shelter of Him. He'll never give us... It's like in the university. The tests are given according to the grade level you're in. They don't give a first grader a PhD level exam, you understand? You get an exam according to your level. So Krishna never puts you in a calamity which is beyond your ability to handle it if you just take shelter of Him. He never does that. So actually, the fact is that God is helping us at every minute. And the more we make the endeavor to become Krishna conscious, He reciprocates with that by helping us even more. So God does help those who help Him. Actually, the example given is a little sparrow. You see. And Prabhupada gave that, God helps those who help Himself. He gave the example, you know, this little sparrow. You know the little sparrow? You remember that story?
No.
You don't? Okay. Well, I'll tell the story of the little sparrow. The little sparrow, the ocean was really mean and nasty one day. The ocean stole a little sparrow's eggs. Now, do you just imagine if somebody kidnapper comes and steal a mother's babies? The mother would be really distraught, you see. We have some mothers here with the little kids in the back room. I heard them screaming back there. Just imagine that the best thing is for the kids to be sitting like this one here so the kids can absorb the Shabda Brahma. That's the ideal thing. This is the side point. The best thing is don't let the kids run around and do the romper room in the back. The best thing is bounce the kid in your knee, make him happy, get him to hear, because you know what? Their brains can learn much faster than ours can. We should be envious of these little kids, actually. Their brains are so powerful for absorbing and learning right now at this young age. So the best thing is you get, like this child is sitting here, this father is very nicely keeping his child peaceful and limp. This child gets to hear these vibrations. We did this in Austin. We had a little tiny baby and we practiced, and at the age of 3 he was preaching philosophy and quoting shlokas. We never taught him to memorize verses. He just heard the verses given in the class, and we can't memorize a verse by hearing the class. Our brains can't do that. We got to sit down and go over it 25,000 times repeating it to get it to stick in the gray matter. See? But here's a little kid, 3-year-old boy. Just by hearing the lectures, he's preaching philosophy and then quoting Shastra in Sanskrit and in English both. So, that's just an aside, but anyway, now back to the point. So this little sparrow, her eggs were stolen by the ocean, and she was really distraught. So she became determined that I am going to dry up this ocean one drop at a time. She had run down to the ocean. She asked for the ocean to give the eggs back. The ocean staunchly refused. I'm not giving your eggs back. Really nasty ocean. So anyway, she went down. She did put a little beak in the water, picked up a few drops, ran back to the dry land, deposited the water on the land, ran back down. Everybody's laughing. Look at this stupid little bird. She's going to run herself to death. She's not even going to get a few gallons before she dies of exhaustion. It looked hopeless. The sparrow was very determined. I am going to dry up this ocean. Staunchly determined, you see. So, it looked hopeless for that little bird. But you know what? She has a big brother. You know who her big brother is?
Garuda.
The king of the birds, the carrier of Ishmael. Is Garuda an ordinary bird? He has all mystic power. He has all Shakti. All mystic Shakti under his control, you see. So when Garuda heard that they are harassing my little sister, Ooh, did he become angry? Oh, he became so angry. He came swooping and just like a fighter pilot full of bombs in his airplane. He just came in his machine gun, you know, shooting bullets. He came in angry like anything. And he landed there and he came up and he told the ocean, you better get those eggs back right now. I'm going to dry you up in a second, you rascal. Give the eggs back. And the ocean, trembling, gave the eggs back in fear of being destroyed by Garuda's mystic power. So, Prabhupada explains, God helps those who help themselves. The sparrow, you see, she made every endeavor from her side. And then Garuda helps. So, the point is, you should make every endeavor from your side to become Krishna conscious, to become a pure devotee of Krishna, fully absorbed in pure bhakti, ahaitakiya pratiyataya yatma supasiditi. You should make every endeavor from your side. Of course, how can we be pure devotees? We're a bunch of, you know, envious sevas. You know, we're really a sad bunch of Kali Yuga. But if we make that sincere endeavor, Krishna, please bless me, I can become your pure devotee. We rise early in the morning, we sing the Gavastakam prayers, we chant 16 rounds, we offer our food, we follow the principles, we associate with Vaishnavas, we beg Krishna to help us, even though we're just the lowest go-dasas that ever set foot in the planet Earth. Just beg Krishna, beg him, and God helps those who help himself. Krishna will help. You know how he helps? If you take one step towards Krishna, you know what? He'll take 10 steps towards you. In other words, you make one step towards Goloka Vrindavan, 10 Goloka Vrindavan will then come 10 times closer than you move yourself towards the Goloka Vrindavan. So simply make that endeavor. You see. And by seeing calamities as the mercy of Krishna, that's not an easy thing to do, let's face it. When Krishna sees this devotee so sincere, he's even trying to see calamities as my mercy. So let me give him extra special blessing because he's making this endeavor. And Krishna can call off those calamities in a second if he wants to. He can call them off in a second if he wants to. It's up to him. There's so many examples of devotees who are in very, people who are in very calamitous condition. There's that, like lepers who were cured by Lord Chaitanya's mercy, completely cured. So Krishna can reverse the calamity. Look at Sudama. He was so hungry, his body was shaking from hungriness, and then he became fabulously wealthy just by taking some chip rice and offering to Krishna. He was in a very calamitous economic condition, completely, totally destitute. Then he became more wealthy than the demigods, like that, instantly, just by offering the chip rice to Krishna with love and devotion. He wasn't thinking of helping himself out of his destitute condition. He was just thinking of pleasing Krishna. And because his only thought, he was purely absorbed in thinking of pleasing Krishna, therefore Krishna gave him everything. So we should follow that pathway in Sudama. Sudama Marga. This path of Sudama is not be, just think, how can I please Krishna? Not, dear God, give me this, give me that, like that song. Give me a Cadillac, a brand new Cadillac, replete with Michelin tires. Give my wife a new silk sari. Give my kids a Harvard education. Give me a house by the sea. Om Jaya Jagadishwari. Not like that. Not that we approach Krishna. Give me, give me, give me, give me, give me. That's not how you get bhakti. That's not how you get Krishna. You may get a few cheap trinkets, you see, but you're not going to get Krishna. When you get Krishna, you get everything. If you give yourself totally to Krishna, he will totally give yourself to you. Krishna will become your personal property, and guess what? Krishna owns everything and he controls everything. If he's your personal property, you don't lack in anything. Whatever money you need, whatever facility you need, everything Krishna will give you. You simply have to fully surrender yourself to Krishna. And you have no anxieties about anything, material or spiritual. So stop begging God for this and that. It's stupid. It's just damn stupid. Don't ask God, give me this, give me that. Just ask for bhakti. If you're really smart, that's what you do. That's the thing. I'm sorry if I'm sounding a little harsh. But I'm just trying to make the point so you'll understand it. I'm doing this out of love. I'm not... Please don't misunderstand. I'm not trying to heavy you out. I just want you to understand that all you have to do is beg Krishna to be fully surrendered to Him. That's all you have to do. That's all. And yeah.
In Grastha Ashrama, what is the best way or the ways to connect Jiva Tattva with the Atma Tattva? And yeah, it's also proceeding towards devotional service.
To contact the jiva with Atma Tattva? Yeah, by hearing. It all begins with hearing. The whole process begins with hearing. And hearing is the foundation, and then jiva do. And then from there, you engage the tongue in chanting Hare Krishna and the tongue in taking prasad. Simple thing. People go, Swami, ooh, take it easy. It can get bad earache, please. Be careful. So, yeah. Does that answer your question? By hearing and by chanting and by tasting prasadam. That's how the jiva becomes fixed in Atma Tattva, the science of the soul. The hearing and the chanting. Hear and engage the tongue. And tasting prasad and chanting Hare Krishna. And that will give you complete realization of that Atma Tattva. The science of the individual self in relationship with the Supreme Self. Raja Vidya, the king of education. And study the Bhagavad Gita thoroughly, again and again and again. And then go to the Bhagavatam, the Chaitanya Charitamrita. Read all the Prabhupada books thoroughly, again and again and again, throughout your entire life. Next question. Yeah.
Sir Maharaj, tolerating is very, very difficult. Like tolerating the calamity or tolerating the.
Everything is.
Very, very difficult. Tolerating.
No, it's not that we just think it's difficult. Actually, it's not. Difficulty is a word in a fool's dictionary, actually. That's the point. We think it's difficult because we're neophyte devotees. That's right. But actually, you become advanced, there's no difficulty. Prabhupada had difficulty with nothing. Everything was an opportunity for him to engage himself in Krishna's loving service. That's all. A golden opportunity to engage himself fully in Krishna's service. Even if, of course, there were apparent difficulties even for Srila Prabhupada. But he didn't take them as inauspicious. He took them as auspicious opportunities to become even more deeply absorbed in Krishna consciousness. There were difficulties, Prabhupada. He went through some great difficulties in starting this movement. Caused by his disciples. Messing things up, yeah.
It seems like we have the examples of Srila Prabhupada and it's going through difficulties and embracing them as Krishna's mercy and Draupadi and so many great devotees.
Pandavas.
Like this. So it seems like on that level we can surrender and everything's okay, but the problem is from here to there along the way, you know. That those difficulties can become overwhelming.
So that's why we need this devotee association to help us. And when you become totally devastated by some difficulty, you have to go and reveal your heart to, reveal your heart to your spiritual master, or reveal your heart to a trusted God brother or your spouse, and like that. You see. We need the association to help us, because sometimes it's just more than we can handle. Let's face it, it's more than we can handle. That's why we need each other. We have Guru, we have Vaishnavas. So, with the help of Guru and Vaishnavas, we can weather the storm. But ultimately, those difficulties will shrink down to insignificance as we become fully sheltered in Krishna's lotus feet. But right now, like you're saying, there's that gap. We're not there yet, so we experience the difficulties. It becomes very disturbing for us sometimes. That's a fact. We're still doing the Sukha Dukkhas. Sukha Dukkha roller coaster ride. right now, on a neophyte level. That's a thing. So, but that's why this association of devotees is so important. Because by taking shelter of Guru and Vaishnavas, that helps us to weather the storm, the waves of the material nature, up and down, up and down. But if you're in, if you have a powerful boat, then you can look, the effect of the storm becomes minimized. A little tiny rowboat, oh, forget it. Huge 20-foot waves, a little tiny rowboat, you're finished. You'll be capsized and drowned within 10 minutes. You see. You have a huge ship, you know. So we have the ISKCON ship, a huge, huge boat with thousands and thousands of devotees on it, you see, with Prabhupada at the helm, you see, and his appointed representatives in his physical absence. So if we stay in this Sangha, the ISKCON Sangha that Prabhupada has given us, then that will enable us to handle the storm. The effects of the storm will be minimized by the association. And then gradually we can peacefully come to the perfection. Samashrutaye palavallava, what is it? Samashrutaye palavallavam mahatpanam punyavishomarari pavam buddhirvatsutaram param padam 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 yanvatam nateisham. One, for one who takes shelter of the abode, of the lotus feet of Lord Shri Krishna, who is the shelter of the cosmic manifestation, and who is famous for annihilating that rascal demon Buddha, this vast insurmountable ocean of material difficulties becomes reduced down to vatsapadam, the amount of water within a hoofprint of a cat. For such a surrendered devotee at the lotus feet of the Lord, his aim is that Parambadam, the Vaikuntha realms. He's no longer entangled in that place where there is danger at every step, difficulties at every turn. So the key is we have to take shelter of Krishna's lotus feet. And those lotus feet are manifested as this Kanda, that ship for crossing the ocean. So by taking shelter of this ISKCON movement, dedicating our lives to this movement of Srila Prabhupada, you see, then we are protected. That ocean of difficulties becomes a little teeny weeny little puddle, and we can easily cross over. And what is the greatest difficulty? Death. Just imagine when death becomes a little insignificant puddle, you just step over it. No big deal. Haribol. You see. That's what we have to come to that stage, to where even death is no longer a problem for us. It's an ecstatic adventure, like going on a pilgrimage to Vrindavan. Oh wow, time to go on Purukama. This time, instead of getting on Qantas, you know, Vaikuntha Airplane. We've just been reading about our classes in Sydney for a whole week. We studied Dhruva going back to Godhead. It's amazing how equipoised he was. This was his death, okay? But it actually was death. What did he do? The airplane came to take him away. And first thing he did, he took bath. Then he decorated his body with ornaments, like we put tilak, Baba compared to them. You take your bath, you put on your tilak, then you offer your obeisances to all the devotees. He was in Bhartarik Ashram. And then he circumambulated the airplane. And then he offered his obeisances to the airplane attendants. And then he got on the airplane and his body was transformed from matter into spirit. As he was getting on the airplane, his material body became a fully spiritual body. And then death came. Now death is coming. Instead of being, oh, death is coming. Oh, no, no. He used death. He stepped on the head of death and got into the airplane. So for a devotee, death is just a stepping stone. Oh, wow, this is great. Death has come. Let me step on the head of death so I can get in the Vaikuntha airplane. Death is not something, a difficulty. It's facility. It's a stepping stone. Just like here, you know, the front, you know, you have a front porch and there'll be some steps leading up into the house, you know. Depending on the, I don't know if you have a step. You have a step here? Let's come straight in. One step. Yeah. So is that step a difficult thing? No, it's facility to help get into the house. So for devotee, death is simply a step to get into the Goloka Vrindavan. He welcomes it. Oh, great. Nice facility. Here's a step. It helps me get into Goloka Vrindavan. So even the most calamitous thing, death, is taken as a auspicious back to home, back to Godhead aid by the devotee. Good facility. Oh, good. Death has come. Very good. Now I can use it to go back to God. Anyway, I don't want to go too late. Because we have to get up for Mangala. How many people are coming for Mangalarti tomorrow morning? One, two, three. Yeah. Four, five, six. My wife and I are coming. So we don't want to go to bed too late. We've got to get up for Mangalarti. Now, what's the advantage of getting up for Mangalarti? Is this some, cult ritual, or what is it? Well, I'll tell you why we get up for Mangalarti. Not because it's a cult ritual. We get up for Mangalarti because if you will study the eight prayers given by Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, they're all Girvastakam. In the ninth prayer, he describes the benefits of coming to Mangalarti. He says that one who sings these prayers every morning during the Brahma Muhurta, the time of death, they are guaranteed to receive the direct service of Krishna and Goloka Vrindavan. So, if you would like to, upon leaving your body, find yourself in the pastimes of Krishna, face to face with the Supreme Personality of Godhead. If you want a ticket, then come from Mangalarti tomorrow morning. Okay? Now, how many will come from Mangalarti tomorrow morning? Let's see a show of hands. Any extras? You don't want your ticket? You want to rot in the cycle of birth and death? It's up to you all. We're giving out free tickets for Goloka Vrindavan tomorrow morning at 4:30 a.m. If you want your free ticket, you got to go to bed as early as you can tonight. Get up early, take your bath, put on some tilak, if you have it, if you learn. Come from Mangalarti at 4:30 and relish the bliss of Prabhupada's mercy. It'll be just like you're in the Holy Dham, right here in Canberra. Okay? So we'll stop here. Anything you'd like to add, Vishnupriya Maharaj? Okay. Anything else you wanted to add? You're our leader here, our spiritual leader.
Can I go one more question?
All right. One more question only.
Tomorrow morning, Bhagavatam class.
Yeah, tomorrow morning.
Save it for the Bhagavatam.
Yeah.
Tomorrow morning, Bhagavatam. All right. And if possible, our next program, try to get these kids to sit in your lap and be peaceful and hear, because when they're doing the romper room thing in the back room, they're not going to be on the pathway of Dhruva and Prahlad. They're not. They're not getting the proper education if they're just doing a romper room thing in the back. They're not. They need to be here and hearing this knowledge. They will learn more than we do and advance faster than we do if they can hear. Even if they don't understand, even a little baby who doesn't even understand any English yet, just by getting the vibrations. Prahlad, as a little baby in the womb, became enlightened just by hearing the vibrations. Sukadeva also in the womb became enlightened. So give these children the blessing. Bring them into the program. You have to put prasadam in their mouth to keep them pacified. Somehow get them here, keep them happy, bounce them around in your knee a little bit, show them you love them, and let them feel happy and absorb the Shabda Brahma. And if you do that steadily, week after week, you'll be amazed. By the time they're five or six, wow, they're preaching philosophy to me more than I even realized. You'll be amazed. You'll be blessed with a little Prahlad in your house. If you take advantage of letting them, engaging them in hearing what Prabhupada says, you'll be amazed how they absorb it. This little boy Kirtan now, when I go on a walk around the neighborhood for a little exercise after the Bhagavatam class, he comes running out the door to join me in the walk. He asks philosophical questions on the whole walk. I'm walking full speed. I don't slow down for him, okay? Because I want the exercise. And he has to run to keep up with me, his little tiny legs, He's running to keep up with me, asking philosophical questions the whole time. 6 years old now. So don't cheat the kids by just having a romper room thing you got. You do the service of your duty as parents by bringing him in, put him on the lap, let him hear the teaching. You'll be glad you did, I guarantee you. You'll see the result after a few years. You'll be absolutely amazed. The power of this Shabda Brahma, how strong an impact it can have on you. Okay? Jai. Bhagavad Gita ki jai, Shri Prabhupada ki jai.